From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Lexi Krupp. It's Tuesday, March 21st. Happy spring! Here are today's headlines.
A former Vermont State Police trooper is facing multiple criminal charges, including grand larceny and sale of stolen property. That's according to a press release from State Police. VSP says Giancarlo DiGenova committed multiple offenses over the course of a year and a half, including stealing a $14,000 Rolex watch from a storage room and attempting to sell mobile phones that had been seized by police. DiGenova resigned from the State Police in February. He's set to be arraigned in Chittenden County Superior Court this week. He'll also face charges in Washington County in April. DiGenova's attorney didn't immediately respond to a request for comment.
Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center is adding more beds to meet increased demand for healthcare in the region. 28 of those beds will come online by early May, according to the Valley News. The hospital is also planning to open a new specialty care unit. Right now, the medical center is often at 110% capacity and has to turn away around 300 patients a month, according to a press release. The hospital plans to add even more beds and renovate several departments over the next few years.
Progressives in the U.S. House of Representatives reintroduced a bill this month to shorten the standard work week. Before you get your hopes up, the bill is not expected to pass. Still, some employers here in Vermont are experimenting with four-day, 40-hour work weeks, like Peter Varconi, one of the owners of Brownsville Butcher and Pantry in West Windsor.
What we're looking at is where we can provide a better life balance and evaluate the intentionality of a four-day-a-week position.
Senator Bernie Sanders has said he supports the four-day work week.
And it's officially spring, which means bears are coming out of hibernation. And state wildlife officials are advising Vermonters to take steps to avoid interactions with them. According to the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department, there's been an increase in bear incidents in recent years, including two bear attacks last year. Jacqueline Camot is the department's bear biologist.
We're seeing a shift in the behavior of our bear population, and we've slowly taught them over the years that our backyards and where we live are easy places to find high-calorie, reliable food.
Camot says people need to limit bears' access to human food. She says that includes taking down bird feeders, putting trash in bear-proof containers, and installing electric fences around chickens and beehives.
Coming up, we'll learn what heat means to a pig farmer. That story after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
As we finally start to leave winter behind, the Vermont Public Newsroom is exploring the many meanings of the word heat. As part of this series, I visited with a farmer in Panton. I'll let her take it from here.
Right now at our farm, we have a flock of 90 Icelandic sheep. We have 180 pigs, a couple hundred chickens, and a couple dozen ducks. Those are the sheep. My name is Alessandra Rellini, and I kind of have two hats. I am the owner of a farm, Agricola Farm in Penton, and I'm also a professor in psychology, and my specialty is the way that sexual responses exhibit themselves. Heat is a word that's utilized to talk about the cycle when the female of a species become more likely to get pregnant, so ovulation. For sheep, that happens seasonally. So it happens usually, we have Icelandic sheep, so they tend to go in heat around October, November, when the days become, the light becomes shorter and the nights become longer. For pigs, instead, they are much closer to us, to humans, and their cycle is 21 days. So every 21 days, they go in heat. There are certain signs that you see that the ovulation might be occurring. The first thing is the vulva becomes really rich and pinkish. It really becomes engorged. And then they tend to assume the standing position. So if you put pressure on the rump on the back, towards their hips, they'll stand still. And the female pig will start mounting anyone around them, like other females, males, humans. It's just kind of exhibiting the type of behavior that she would like to be happening. And then the other things that they show is actually there is a change in their smell. Their breath start smelling like maple syrup. Here we have some of the adolescent, and you can see that one, the brown one that just moved? That vulva, it's kind of like normal size. But the one next to it, it's almost three times bigger. And so that one is a pig that it's in heat. At our farm, we are very much always talking about bodily functions such as manure as much as heat. It's a daily conversation because our pigs get in heat on a monthly basis, and we do have litters every month with the pigs. So we always discuss like vulvas. We constantly talking about which pigs need or which one smells like maple, which one is likely to be in heat, which one is not. Also, if we have a pig, they supposed to be pregnant, but we notice that she is in heat again, then we know that she had a miscarriage. So that's also when we can intervene and try to figure out what happened. Maybe she's too old or maybe something went wrong. And so also for her care, that's what we can do. That's Martino, the boar, the big brown, black one. He's a purebred Berkshire, and he's probably about 800 pounds, I would say. The important thing about farming is that you are really controlling how many animals you want or can handle at the farm to be successful at both financially, but also to be able to provide them the right amount of space that you have, the right amount of care. If we were to let all our sows get pregnant all the time, we would end up with too many piglets that we couldn't handle. So we need to control the numbers. This is Berta, and you see how nice and round her belly is. And also that one is Mortadella, and she's also going to be becoming a mom sometime soon. When I think about my work as a scholar in sexuality and my work at the farm, I find it interesting that what's providing me the greatest amount of insight probably is my work at the farm feeding into my work as an academic. So it's been many times when things I've observed, things that I've seen with my animals made me consider how would that play out in the human world. And the very sad thing about the study of sexuality is that in the U.S. it's pretty much a taboo. So there are oftentimes this world is really the next frontier in terms of our lack of knowledge. And in this situation with animals, it's a situation when it's less deprived of all these taboos. And by working with them, you get to see behavior, you get to observe things. Then you start wondering what a larger implication they have for all mammals. We are a lot more similar to them as other people might think.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Michaela Lafrack, and Adia Ghostin.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Lexi Krupp. Talk to you tomorrow. It's Tuesday, March 21st. Happy spring. Okay, man, I was doing so good.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.